Welcome. If you're a woman who has a sense that there's more out there for you, you're in the right place. I'm Whitney Baker, host of the Electric Ideas podcast. Somewhere along the line of working kids, life carried on, but I lost track of my truth. I'm on a reflective journey, and that's what this podcast is all about. Each week, I interview a woman who is lighting her own path and offering others hope. Before our conversation ends, we'll share a reflective question for you to explore. Sometimes all we need is a jolt, a fresh idea, an aha moment that connects us to a sense of possibility. This, my friends, is what I call an electric idea. Welcome back to Electric Ideas. I'm your host, Whitney Baker. And you guys, I'm so excited. Today, Electric Ideas, the podcast, turns 100. This is the 100th episode. And wow, it has been an incredibly meaningful journey for me. So I want to start this special episode by just saying thank you. Thank you for cheering for me. Thank you for being a part of this community, for letting me into your lives. Our time is so important. And I want you to know that I deeply value my own time and yours. And I am grateful for this opportunity to show up, to share my voice, and hopefully continue to be of more and more service in the world. My journey with podcasting has given me a chance to learn so much, to follow my curiosities, to go deep into topics I know women will be inspired by, which I hope you find as refreshing as I do in this kind of 24-hour clickbait news cycle we find ourselves in. I've had a chance to connect with brilliant thought leaders and change agents and healers from around the world. And the podcast continues to be a labor of love. I look forward to and enjoy preparing for every interview. So if you've been a part of the Electric Ideas community for any amount of time, you might be aware that I'm someone who was a born extrovert, but also someone who needs a lot of space for quiet and who takes self-reflection very seriously. And as someone who does practice self-awareness, one thing I didn't expect through this podcasting journey is how much of my own limitations, fears, even past hurts it would bring to the surface. Man, when we do something vulnerable, there's a reason it feels scary. Putting ourselves out there can bring up things you haven't thought about in years. And for me, I realized it brought up some things that I probably brushed past in my past life and didn't fully acknowledge I was carrying. It turns out when we have a chance, whether it's intentionally or not, to bring some of these things to light, it can really be freeing. So for today's 100th episode, I'm giving myself permission to share a bit more openly about my own story and what this podcasting endeavor has brought to light, including some things I'm still navigating, to be honest. I'm also going to share a few lessons from my experience, because I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast feel stuck or stagnant, and it's a really crappy feeling to know you have more to contribute, that you're meant to be more, you're meant to be living a bigger and better life, but you feel like you just can't quite get there, or you're just plain overwhelmed, stressed, drained. And I want this podcast and everything I do with Electric Ideas to be a powerful refuge for women, a place where women who are weary, stressed, frustrated, or simply just are awake to the fact that we just get this one precious life and we're sick of feeling like we just can't quite get ahead of it, or we're squandering it, or we're not able to drop into the present and actually enjoy it, or we don't feel like ourselves enough right now to be enjoying our lives. I want this to be your place. And I am so glad you're here. So in anticipation of this episode, I surveyed the Electric Ideas community, which is just a fancy way of saying I threw an online poll on my Instagram stories. And it was something along the lines of, ask me anything about my podcasting journey and I'll answer. It's an interesting thing trying to get feedback on a podcast because I know how many people are listening, but I have no idea who's actually listening. And when it comes to social media, I usually get more comments and feedback about like my nail polish peeling off everything but my big toes or something like that versus more serious inquiries about my journey. But a simple question I do often get asked is, how did you decide to start a podcast? And while I've talked a little bit about my mission with Electric Ideas, which is lighting women up with a new sense of possibility, I'm hyper aware that I've never actually told my own story on this podcast. And since I'm giving myself all the permission slips on this 100th episode and trying to be as honest as possible, because I know that's what all women are craving, we deeply see ourselves reflected in other women's stories. So I'm going to start to try to do a better job of sharing mine. And I'll start by telling you this. Unlike many podcasters, the episodes I record on my own, which should be the easiest, I don't have to schedule, I could do them whenever, or I don't interview a guest, are still the hardest for me. Like many women, despite being at this now for years, not to mention having a master's degree in journalism and a 250-hour plus certification in teaching meditation, and loads of work life and lived life experience, I still navigate that self-doubt sometimes when I go to push record on these solo episodes. And it's actually a strange phenomenon because I've increasingly been asked to be a guest on other podcast shows and speak or moderate more in public capacities. And I'm excited to do these things and it feels natural. I know my story. I genuinely believe I have lots of helpful anecdotes and deep knowledge of tools and practices that I teach women with continued positive feedback. That feels an integrity to me. I always remember that a friend told me I could find something in common with a brick wall. So I'm sharing this today because we're going to be visiting this good old idea, that fear that holds so many bright women back from flooding the world with their light and their brilliance. I just wanted to come clean that I'm still doing this scared, 100 episodes in. And the more raw and honest I become, the scarier it gets. But the more I move through this fear and witness how rewarding it is to feel so aligned with my calling, the easier it gets. Nobody said it was going to always be comfortable to move into your next highest version of yourself, to express parts of you that are longing to be expressed. They're latent and just waiting inside of you. But I can tell you from firsthand knowledge that the suffering you create for yourself by playing small, withholding, staying stuck, far exceeds the discomfort of honoring how you're being called to show up in the world. So let's circle back to why I started a podcast. And I'm going to give you a little bit of the longer, messier answer because I want to dispel this myth for women that everyone around them has their act together and everybody knows exactly how they want to show up in the world. I have now had a chance to work with so many talented women, and I can tell you this, everyone carries their own pain points and doubts. And I took a lot of detours before I found a place professionally where it just feels right. It feels life-giving. So I like to be candid about that. I'm going to take it all the way back to a few quick notes on my childhood, because part of my process of reclaiming a sense of self after losing this feeling during a chaotic time where I had a very stressful job and two kids under 14 months, I wanted to remember who I was before people and society conditioned me to question myself or limit myself or water myself down for the sake of other people feeling comfortable. So from a young age, I felt like I had a lot to say. Even in elementary school, I was scribbling in journals and connecting people. I was laughing, remembering a couple anecdotes with my mom this week because she said she would push me around the cart in the grocery store. And it was like Annie had arrived on the scene. All the clerks would call out, "Hi, Whitney," and wave. Obviously, I'd made lots of buddies wherever I went. And I had to laugh because she reminded me, I don't remember this, that in kindergarten, I was quickly assigned the duty of running all of the AV equipment for the teacher, which I find hilarious. But I've come to realize that if I'm being totally honest, that vibrant, happy little kid version of Whitney got tampered with a lot. And I think this happens so much for women. And that's why I'm sharing this. I've learned that we see ourselves in each other's stories. So when I started this podcast, I was very careful. I don't want it to be the Whitney Show and all about me. But today I'm tiptoeing toward telling more of my own story because I do believe that sometimes women need to see themselves in someone else's story in order to recognize or clarify a feeling or something that's holding them back in their own journey. So it seems like I was kind of this happy, outgoing, cheery child. But as I look back, even through elementary and junior high and high school, I started to get messages from family and society to be less and be smaller. I have two older sisters, and one time somebody found my journal. I remember this vividly. We were in the basement somehow, and my dad started reading my journal out loud, and everybody in the family laughed. And I didn't realize how seared this became in my heart until I revisited it through my own investigation and questioning through this podcasting process of why I feel so called to share my voice, but also hamstringed sometimes when I go to open my mouth. I've talked to my family about this. Don't worry, nobody even remembers. And of course, they were apologetic, but sometimes we need to investigate a little bit. I want to tread lightly here because I know that there are many people who have experienced trauma with a capital T, and I want to honor the seriousness of that. But I think for a lot of women who have reasonably good childhoods, we have a lot of these lowercase t traumas that we don't even realize are still showing up and hampering us in our day-to-day lives. Here's a few more examples that have come up for me. So when we went to church when I was little, I would get the giggles and probably loud whisper. And my dad would always have to remind me, Whitney, your voice carries. I'm telling you, young girls absorb these messages as be quieter, you're too much. As I got older, I remember my dad having to have serious conversations with me when I was in junior high about not engaging and talking to randoms when I was out and about, when he would drop me off somewhere. That's totally fair. I would have been a little scared to have me as a junior high girl too. I was the youngest of three and did well in school and was overall pretty respectable. I was a good kid, but I've always had a wild streak, and I've given the adult me permission to mourn. Yes, it's a strong word, and I'm using it on purpose because I think women sometimes need to mourn the parts of themselves, like this wildfire that's always been inside of me that people have tried to trample on and squash. I mentioned school. When I was in seventh grade, I was what you would call an early bloomer. And shout out to early bloomers because it is super awkward. And let me tell you, the last thing I wanted was attention at that point. All of a sudden, I have boobs and I'm towering over all the boys. Well, a lot of my friends are petite and cute. And during the past couple of years, I've explored emotional freedom technique, also called EFT or tapping. I found it to be a modality that helps me release some heaviness or stress that oftentimes I didn't even realize I was still carrying. And I've gotten so deeply curious about why I still get blocked sometimes when I feel called to share my voice. And these images and patterns, like the little anecdotes I've already shared, seem to be coming to the surface and hopefully releasing. But one thing that came up fairly recently was in this awkward seventh grade early bloomer phase, I was held behind by a female art teacher after class. And she told me I was not allowed to stretch my arms above my head anymore, which, by the way, I had no idea I was doing, because it was distracting the boys in class. This conversation, such a small conversation, but women get these messages their entire lives. You can imagine how much I collapsed into myself and made myself small during art class the rest of the year. I hope me sharing some of these anecdotes simply invites you to be a bit more reflective, but also self-compassionate. We are all women who carry wounds. Some are tiny and some are gaping. I think it's courageous to look at them. I think about it like cradling these tender and painful parts of ourselves like a baby versus pushing them down. Because in my experience, keeping them buried below the surface gives them so much more power. One more theme I've explored a lot in my own personal spiritual reclamation work, which is creative recovery. if you are someone who feels eclipsed in any way from your self-expression, I highly recommend the book, The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. It's probably the book I have gifted the most, and it's really more than a book. It's a self-guided program. I stumbled upon it and did it in my 20s when I was still in my very open-hearted, soul-searching, content phase of my life, optimistically trying to change the world, working in nonprofit. And I did the entire program over again in a totally different phase in my 30s when I'd quit my corporate job, I had little kids, and I was in that murky middle and felt rather confused and distanced from myself. And I recently decided I'm just going to do the Artist's Way once a decade. So anyways, one of the reasons I will always have an appreciation for Julia Cameron and this book and her work is because it helped me crystallize and understand some of the unhelpful narratives I'd absorbed that were still lingering in the well, caging me in from expressing in the world in the way I believe I've always been called to express. I'll give you an example of what this book brought to life for me in case it inspires you to do this type of self-reflection work for yourself. So when I was young, I played the piano, but as it turns out, I learned music by ear. And at the time, that was frustrating for all parties. My piano teacher would ask me to start in the middle of a song, and I couldn't because I could never fluently read notes because I would hear a song and learn the tune. Then I just knew the song in whatever capacity I knew it, and I really couldn't help but play from memorization. And this was perhaps of greatest frustration to my own mother. My mom was a great mom. She gave up her teaching career to focus on motherhood. She also happens to be very high achieving and type A. So here was the rub. I loved playing piano, but my mom, who also plays piano and could fluently read music, was having none of it and completely negated my learning style. She told me I was never going to be a good piano player, that I was doing it wrong. I know my mom meant well. She wanted to see me thrive, but at the time, I absorbed these type of messages, that I was never going to be a piano player and that I was doing it wrong. As I've kind of mentioned, I was both an outgoing and creative child, and back to this kind of always having this thread of writing and creating, I know that from a young age, I yearned for a sense of expression. And with piano, I wrote some lyrics and composed music for the piano. But unfortunately, my sisters followed my mom's lead in kind of rolling their eyes. They made fun of me. They claimed I ripped off the 90210 theme song, which I can laugh about now. Who knows? Oftentimes, I've found there's a little bit of truth on both sides of the story. But it wasn't until I was in high school and part of what we called the Talented and Gifted program, I ended up doing an independent study where I wrote and composed a piano song. And by that time, my sisters were out of the house and my mom kind of rolled her eyes about it and treated it like it was something I was just doing to get out of work and other classes. And it hasn't been until I was an adult that I can really admit how important it was for me to be seen and celebrated and taken seriously for my creative endeavors. So this is also why I use journaling as a tool with a lot of my clients, because it wasn't really until I went through the Julia Cameron book and write down what I had absorbed from this seemingly small part of my history. But as you can imagine, it was something along the lines of, you're not good enough. You'll never be good enough if you do it your way. You're doing it wrong. You are not talented. Your creativity and calling is not to be taken seriously. And sadly, if you express yourself, you're likely to be laughed at or belittled. And look, our parents are first-time parents too, and I have no interest in villainizing my mother, who I'm still very close with. But I'm also not into negating our own truths as women. This experience with feeling called to express, literally feeling like my music was trapped inside of me, has been a pattern I've grappled with in many places in my life. And by giving myself space to understand this, including through cultivating a deep meditation practice has allowed me to give myself so much more kindness and grace, including when I'm trying to share my voice and it feels a little sticky. Sadly, it's much easier to keep your music inside of you. And this might be painting, dancing, however you're being called to show up and express in the world, then risk failing or being made fun of. Just so you can rest assured to bring the piano situation back in full action, I celebrated myself recently and my commitment to personal growth a couple years ago because my mom was visiting my home in Chicago. And at the time, one of my daughters was taking piano lessons and my mom kindly offered to practice with her. And I hadn't fully verbalized that I was well aware my daughter learns and plays the piano exactly like I do. And my mom practiced with her, and I can imagine it was frustrating for both parties. And afterwards, when my mom was out of earshot from my daughter, my mom said something along the line of, "Oh no, she plays like you." And I replied, "Yeah, she's really talented." This is a topic for another day, but just like when we step into something that involves bravery, I think having kids brings up parts of ourselves that we didn't realize were still tender. My daughter loves to play the piano. I don't make her take formal lessons because she doesn't like lessons for the same reasons I hated going to my piano teacher. And I'm super conscious of using encouraging words and letting her have playing piano as an outlet that doesn't need to be controlled or rigid. I'm not putting any pressure on her to perform or even improve. She gets to sit down and play whatever music is on her heart. And I'm grateful I've done enough work on myself to not pass down the creative cages I inherited. All right, guys. So when I sat down to work on this episode, I feel like I did fall into a little bit of an outdated pattern of putting pressure on myself, which is just crippling to my creativity and then frustrating because I'm aware that I'm crippling my own creativity and ability to share my voice. I had this outline in my head that went along the lines of, here are the top three things I've learned from my podcasting journey. But I kept procrastinating because for some reason, something didn't feel right. It felt contrived or forced. I sat down, I got quiet, and I asked myself, how can I share my story in a way that's of service to others? And this is what came through. So thank you for listening. I want to make sure I leave you with at least one important takeaway, and that is fear holds us back. Like I said, I can share more about my recent history in another episode, but when I was in a frustrating, murky middle phase with little kids, forcing freelance work, and just knowing I had more to offer in the world, but feeling stuck and like I didn't know how to tap into it, I was lamenting my plight to someone I love and respect very much. And she said something to me that was like a dagger in the heart. She said, "Whitney, maybe you're just not that special." Whoa, that was a tough pill to swallow. And I felt hurt. But as it turns out, I was glad she said that to me because it forced me to self-reflect and really get my head around my own feelings. And here's what I believe. I think everyone is special, but for many women, the older we get, the more we get into our heads and out of our hearts. We fall into victim mentality and are riddled by all the messages and conditioning that have been layered into us since we were little girls. We want more, but we start asking ourselves questions like, who am I to start the company? Who am I to write a book? Who am I to quit this stable job and open an injured horse sanctuary? And my question for you today is, why not you? I think one of the biggest reasons women are unsatisfied in their lives is because they hold themselves back from the fear of being judged harshly by other people. And if you've been along with me for this episode, you know I can so deeply relate. And I just want to reiterate that from my experience, you holding yourself back out of fear, probably about what a random friend or relative might say if you do X, Y, and Z. That choice to eclipse yourself from your talent and your truth and your expression is causing way more suffering than the discomfort of stepping into who your soul is calling on you to be right now in this season of your life. Many years ago, I read the book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, which was written by a palliative care nurse, Bronnie Ware. And it's a book that stuck with me. And you know what the top regret was of her patients? Spoiler alert, it wasn't, "I wish I would have achieved more." The top regret her dying patients expressed was that they wished they'd had the courage to live a life true to themselves, not the life others expected of them. I'm committed to Electric Ideas being a community that encourages you to live a life true to yourself. I remember when I was a mom with young kids and I finally had had the courage to quit my corporate job that was draining the life out of me. And I was in a really weird, murky middle phase, but knew I had so much inside of me that I wanted to share, that I had so much to give beyond the roles I had played at work and as a parent. I had this secret wish that someone could just fall out of the sky and almost discover me. And I hate to burst your bubble, but nobody is coming for you. The only person who can draw out your genius, your highest self, and your light is you. So on this very special 100th episode of the Electric Ideas podcast, as always, I will leave you with a reflection. Are you taking full responsibility for cultivating the life you want? If not, where is fear holding you back? All right, guys, that is it for today. As I reclaim my own voice and my own power, I deeply wish to be a beacon for other women. And for that reason, I want to ask you from the bottom of my heart, if this episode or any episode of the past 100 episodes of Electric Ideas has resonated with you, can you please share it with your network? I'm committed to continuing to grow and be of service, but it only works if people know about Electric Ideas. So if there's anything you can do to help me spread the word, I would be very grateful. Thanks again. Have a beautiful day. I'm so glad you joined me today. If you're looking for more, feel free to connect with me on Instagram at Whitney Woman. And if you enjoyed the show, I invite you to support me by leaving a review or sharing it with a friend. Hope you have an inspired day.